How many of you had more than 4 hours sleep last night? Did you have more than four, five, six? The hands are going down. Did anybody get enough sleep last night? Did you? That's what I thought. Okay, well, this will be fun. I want to thank the people that have put on this festival. This has been great. And some of the best is yet to come. Great bands last night. I fully enjoyed that. Those of you that played last night, that was a great job. And I want to thank Daniel especially for putting this whole thing on and the people that have helped him with it. Let's give them a big hand. Can we do that? Also, I wanted to introduce to you two of my very good friends that came from America with me. And I want Casey and Adrian to stand up, if you would, also. They work with me in Sanctuary. There they are. All right. Well, we have some exciting things to talk about. And again, it's kind of hard to get you excited when you're asleep. So if you prop your eyes open just a little longer, we'll make it, won't we? And if you see the person next to you starting to nod off a little bit, could you just kind of poke them in the side and wake them up again? We might need to do that, huh? The Bible says in Psalm 27, verse 4, "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple." Isn't that a great verse? I love that verse, and it inspires me, and it makes me excited, but I don't think very many people can read it and get excited about it. You know, if we were to think that Jesus Christ was coming back in the next few minutes, a lot of people would say, "Wait. Lord, there's a lot of things I still want to do." You know, we're real quick to say, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus," until we think He's going to come quickly. And then we say, "Slow down, Lord Jesus. Don't come quite so quickly." And there is something, folks, that happens in our hearts when we become Christians to be able to say, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus." And David, the psalmist here, is saying, "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon His beauty, to spend the rest of eternity with Him." Now, can I tell you, folks, that's not something we want to do unless God's gotten a hold of our hearts, unless we've gotten to know Him in a very intimate way. And today, in the couple sessions that we have together, I'm not going to spend a long time, but I'll spend some quantity time with you and going through some things, the heart that we need to develop, and that God develops as we get to know Him even better. And I promise you one thing before we get started. If you can stay awake with me, I want to give you some things that will change your life. Deal? Okay. John chapter 21. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there with me. John chapter 21 and verse 15. "And when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?'" Do you know this story? "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." And again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" And he answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." And the third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." You know, we read over this particular scripture many, many times, and I wonder if we've really understood what it means. Jesus was calling Peter to a very difficult ministry. And look what he says. He says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, I do. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. What's a lamb? A baby sheep. He said, feed my lambs. Well, in a larger sense, lambs are baby Christians, new believers. He said, I want you to feed them. And then Jesus asked him the second time, Simon, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And he says, take care of my sheep. Now he's saying, I want you to feed the young Christians, and I want you to take care of some of the older Christians. He didn't stop there. I want to get your attention focused on Peter for just a minute. Do you remember who Peter is? Peter's the guy that didn't quite make it a few times. He's the one that said, Lord, gosh, that's a great trick, walking on water. Why don't you tell me to come out on the water with you? And he got out of the boat, and all of a sudden, he took his eyes off of Jesus, and what happened? Down he went. That Peter. This is the same Peter also that would deny Jesus, not once, not twice, but three times. This is the guy we're talking about. And all of a sudden now, Jesus is giving him some awesome responsibility. And he says, Peter, do you love me? Three times now. You know, it's amazing that Peter's about to deny him three times. But Jesus asks him at this point three times, do you love me? And the Bible says that Peter was a little hurt this time. He couldn't understand why Jesus kept asking him this question. And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. So he's given him three things to do. Feed the new believers. Take care of everybody, the new believers and the old believers. And now he says, Peter, feed even the old believers as well. Now, I don't know about you, but Peter would not be the one that I would choose to do that. You know what I mean? I wouldn't choose him. I would think, you know, Peter's a little flaky. He's not the guy that I would choose. Peter is the one, and they called him the rock. But Peter's the guy that goes up like a rocket and down like a rock. You know? He is the guy that keeps blowing it all the time. And this is the guy that Jesus says, feed my sheep. Gives him the awesome responsibility of feeding sheep. Can I tell you that I felt that way my whole ministry? I've been a pastor for 25 years. And during this time, I've had some wonderful opportunity to speak to a lot of people. Throughout the years, I've been known as the heavy metal pastor. So that's gotten me to speak to a lot of people. And I've spent a lot of time with bands like Motley Crue and just a lot of different people. And I appreciate all the openings that God's given me in the past and all the things that I've been able to do, all the bands we've been able to get started in the Christian rock and roll and heavy metal punk rock scene. And we've spent a lot of time pioneering all of that, and it's been great. It's been the joy of my life. But I have always felt like Peter during this whole time. I've always felt like, Lord, you could have used anybody. Why did you want to use me? When we first started Sanctuary, I was pastoring another church, and I had been working with rock and roll for a long time. Worked with Larry Norman and all those guys from the very beginning, and Res Band, and all the oldies but goodies. I'm one of those oldies but goodies. And when Christian heavy metal came along and some things were just beginning, I thought, well, I'll help the movement get started, but I'm getting a little old, and so I probably can't relate as well. And so maybe I'll just kind of help them get going. And one day I was in my church, the church I was pastoring at the time, and I was sitting up on the podium, or in the pulpit, and I was getting ready to speak, and the Lord told me to go out of the church and into the foyer, the back of the church. Now, there aren't very many times in my life when I realize that God is telling me to do something. I guess I'm just not that spiritual. I don't listen as well as I probably should. But there are some times when I know that I've heard him tell me something. This is one of those times. And so I got up and I walked in there just as a couple guys were walking into the church. And they had very long hair. And I liked them already. In those days, I didn't have long hair. I had a lot of hair, like this. I had an afro, huge afro. I mean, huge afro. Some of you remember my old days. And it was, I used to measure it with a yardstick, you know, real big. And in those days, Billy Preston, he used to play with the Beatles once in a while, had a huge afro, and he and I measured our hair together to see whose was bigger, and mine was bigger than his. So I probably had one of the bigger ones around, and it was huge. And, you know, it kind of flopped from side to side as I walked. I would sit down in a movie theater or something, and people would ask me to move to the end of the row because they couldn't see through my hair, you know? I remember teaching a Sunday school class, and the kids loved to throw spit wads and get them stuck in my hair. I'd never find them, you know. They'd just be in there for a very long time. But anyway, those were the 70s, weren't they? 60s, the hippie days. But anyway, these two guys walked in, and they had long hair. And they said, "Pastor Bob, we came to talk to you." And one of the guys said, I'm one of the managers for a brand new band that's starting out. And I wonder if you'd spend some time with us and help us get started. Now, I've heard that question many times. And I worked with a lot of bands to help them get started over the years. But I thought I was finished. And I was going to try to pastor a normal church. I've never been normal myself, but I was going to try to pastor a normal church. And to see if that would work. And they said, "Would you meet with us?" So I did, and it was a band that was just forming called Striper. And they had just changed the name from, I think, Rock's Regime was the name. So I went to their garage where they were practicing and listened to all the stuff they were doing, and they were just in the process of writing new words to a lot of the old songs that were secular songs before they became Christians, and now they were just starting out. So we decided to do some discipleship, that we would disciple some of the people that they were about to reach. And so we started an afternoon Bible study at my church. We called it Sanctuary. And Michael Sweet was my first worship leader, and he led worship, and we started out that way. And when they got really busy, then Jim Laverty from Barron Cross became the worship leader, and he is still my worship leader today. He's getting married in a few weeks, otherwise he would have been here with us too. But those were great days, and the rest is a lot of history that I won't bore you with, because there's been a lot of good times, a lot of bands. We were able to start a record company, Intense Records, that was just a real blessing in getting a lot of great, great bands out there. Now we're working more with, I was very excited to see a few goth people here today, because we're working with goth music mostly now, with Savior Machine and Wedding Party and Eva O and some of the great, great new bands that are out there right now too. So it just gets more and more exciting to me. And I keep feeling older and older as I go. And it's amazing to me that God still has me in the middle of all this when I don't quite understand what's going on, and I don't feel real capable of it either. And I was doing a magazine interview yesterday, and the interviewer said, "Tell me a secret about you." I had to think about that one. You know, when you're in the public eye all the time, you don't have very many secrets. I don't really have too many. And I said, well, I'll tell you one that not very many people know. And since I'm sure he's about to print it, I'll just tell you anyway. But I said, probably my biggest secret is that my favorite kind of music is swing music. It really is. The W's, the Swing Doctors, a new Christian band that's coming out, great. Some of that kind of stuff, I really enjoy. Now, I love rock and roll. I am an old, old rock and roller, and I like every form of it. But I really like swing music a lot, too. And years ago, I was doing an interview with one of the bigger newspaper or magazines in the United States called Christianity Today. And the interviewer asked me what kind of music I liked the best, and I said I liked big band swing music. And the article read, "Heavy metal pastor loves big band music," and that was the whole article. But I've always felt like kind of a fish out of water, you know, that I didn't quite belong where God stuck me. And I thought, Lord, wouldn't it make more sense to use somebody to pioneer Christian rock and roll that probably knows a little more about it and is maybe into a little bit more than, I mean, I like it, but it's not my big desire. And I feel like Peter a lot of times. You know what I'm saying? I see all kinds of people that are more capable than me. I see all kinds of people that would probably understand a lot more than I do. You know, when we started a record company, I didn't know the first thing about that. I just knew we needed to get some bands out there and nobody else would sign them. Deliverance, Vengeance, Tourniquet, etc., etc., etc. Savior Machine. Mortification. Nobody would sign them, so I did. And not knowing much what I was doing, and I thought, we'll see what happens. And let me just tell you that God did it all, because I still don't have any idea what I'm doing. I still don't. But can I tell you that I feel like Peter? And I think you probably do too in a lot of ways, don't you? When you think about what you're capable of, you put yourself in a little box, and the things that you expect God to do sometimes are very small. When I was in high school, I went to a little tiny high school. I grew up on a farm in the country in Montana where nobody lives. My graduating class was the biggest class that ever graduated from that high school. There were 19 of us. And 17 of us started in kindergarten together and graduated together. We were together all those years. We got to know each other very well. By the time we graduated, everybody had dated each other, you know, at least once. And so here I am, from a little town, and not knowing very much, never really been to all that many big cities, and feeling a lot of calling on my life. I knew God wanted me to be a pastor, but I didn't know much about it, and I didn't quite know how he was going to pull it off. And I had another big problem. I couldn't speak. I stuttered really bad. In fact, I remember that after I did a speech class, the teacher of the speech class wrote, "You have a speaking problem and you speak in a monotone voice." In other words, your voice isn't very interesting. I thought, how in the world am I going to be a pastor? I'm going to put everybody to sleep. You know? But folks, I began to believe God for something big. I knew I didn't want to be just a regular pastor. I knew I couldn't be. I knew there was too much rebellion in me for that. I knew that I had to do something that was very different, and that God was calling me to do something that was very extraordinary. He wanted to do extraordinary things with a very, very ordinary guy. And so he began to do just that. And folks, it has been the joy of my life to watch God move, to watch him change me, to watch him take nothing and make something out of it. You know what I'm saying? And I want to encourage you with that today, that that's exactly what God is in the business of doing. For some of you, you feel like you have a great calling on your life with music. Go after it. Use it for the Lord. Some of you will be great writers. Some of you will be evangelists. Some of you will do a great job of being a father, a husband, a wife, a mother, which is an extraordinary calling as well. But the greatest thing is that God continues to take ordinary people and do extraordinary things. You know, I do a lot of ministry with bands. And I live in Nashville, Tennessee now, the home of country music. Now, let me just tell you that country has never been my favorite style of music. No, let me just say that it's never even been close to my favorite style of music. And people would ask me if there's any music that I don't like, and I would say, well, country music would be the thing I really don't like. And so God moved me to Nashville, Tennessee, where they just have country music. Can I get even a little more ironic than that? There's a network called CMT, Country Music Television, and I do the background speaking on that network. So if you ever turn that on TV, I'm doing a lot of the voiceovers in the background. And this last year, in October, they have a great big music festival called Farm Aid every year, and I co-hosted Farm Aid with Willie Nelson last year. And here I am in country music. I still don't like it. But God sometimes puts you in the strangest places where you just don't expect to be. Isn't that true? Folks, the greatest thing is that when Jesus called Peter here, he felt the same way. When he realized what Jesus was calling him to do, he thought, Lord, are you talking to me? Are you talking to me? Are you really saying you want me to feed your sheep? This is the guy that was shy. This is the guy that kept blowing it. This is the guy that was a flake. And yet when you turn to Acts chapter 2, you don't have to do that. I'll just tell you the story. The Bible talks about the Holy Spirit coming upon the people. Listen, this is exciting. And they began to speak in another language, in other languages. And everybody is very confused. And they said they must be drunk, because that's the first thing you think of. They thought, no, it couldn't be that. It's too early in the day for that. What could it be? And everybody's confused, and everybody's wondering what's going on. And the Bible says that in the middle of all the confusion, Peter stands up, addresses the whole crowd, and tells them what's going on. What is he doing? Feeding the lambs and the sheep. And he continues to do that. The most unlikely guy is doing the job of evangelism that God called him to do. Later on, God would choose another man that was killing Christians to minister the gospel and to write most of the New Testament. A man named Paul. I wouldn't have chosen him either, by the way. Would you? I think, folks, when we look at the scope of our lives, and I'm just about done, so stay with me a few more minutes. Okay? Take a deep breath. Okay, just a few more minutes. He's almost finished. When we look at our lives and we look at our potential, it's hard to believe that we can accomplish great things for God. It was hard for this country boy to imagine ever doing anything big, to ever doing anything for the Lord that amounted to anything. It was hard for me to imagine speaking in front of people, which is just as comfortable to me now as anything, but it wasn't then. And I never imagined the kind of ministry that I've had back in those days when God was first calling me into it. And I say that for one purpose, folks, today. And that is to encourage you in the same thing. And here's where my message gets a little more serious. I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm about to say, because I don't want you to misunderstand it, because it can easily be misunderstood. But I want to make a few statements that I think are very important and that are very controversial. Is it okay if I'm controversial for a few minutes? The church today is in trouble. That's not news, is it? But it's in big trouble. And I believe that we have revival ahead of us, but I don't think that most of it's going to happen in churches. I don't think the churches are ready. I think if Jesus came to the average church today, they'd probably kick him out. I'm sorry to say that. For so many years, we've been involved in helping people get established in local churches, wherever they're at in the world. Our ministry has been of an international scope, and we've really worked with a lot of churches and helped people like most of you get into a church where they can begin to grow. And I watched you during worship today, and I appreciate that most of you have found a place where you can grow and you can become established and you can find Jesus Christ. But folks, can I tell you that millions have not? And I have a special burden. I have a burden for people on the edge. I have a burden for people that are a little different. The rock and rollers. The gothic crowd. The vampire crowd. I have a burden for the long hairs. I have a burden for the heavy metal people. Those are the people that I want to see touched for Jesus Christ. And I'm praying for those of you with short hair that you might see the light and, you know, grow your hair out too. I'm just kidding. Just a joke. I'll probably lose all of mine now, huh? But I really believe, folks, that we have a very special mission that nobody else is going to do. You know, Jesus looked at the church during his time, and he said they were religious, but they weren't correct. And there's a big difference between religion and Christianity. And Jesus spoke out against religion, and he called them names. He called them broods of vipers, snakes. He hated them. Not the people, he hated what they were doing. And warned people against them. I want to do the same with you today. I want to warn you against them. I want to warn you against the religious movements that are going on around the world today. And I want to encourage you to get involved in Christianity. There's a difference. Religion doesn't take you to heaven. A relationship with Jesus Christ does. And folks, if you found a church that has helped you to find a relationship with Jesus Christ, that's wonderful. If you're in a church that is just teaching religion and not helping you find a relationship with Jesus Christ, keep looking. But we have a job today to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to people on the edge. It's not just my job. It's our job. And folks, you can do it better than many other people can. If you're still waiting for pastors to do it, the job's not going to get done. But there are people who need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, I appreciate what's going on this weekend. Tonight is a wonderful opportunity for ministry. And there are 6 bands playing tonight, Daniel. Great stuff. The bands that played last night were fantastic. There are more great bands playing tonight. And this is a wonderful opportunity to bring people, to minister to people at the concert, to see people come to Jesus Christ. I hope this festival is the first of many. Wouldn't that be great? We need to bring some bands over too and do it again. You know, we'll all do it together. That'd be fun. I'd love to do that. But you guys take advantage of this and realize that it is our job. And just as God can use a farm boy from Montana who didn't know anything about anything, He can use you as well. Would you let Him do that? Would you dare to dream as big as the dreams that He's putting in your heart? And let me close with this thought. No matter how big you dream for Jesus, He's always dreaming bigger than you are. The Bible says you can do great and mighty things through Jesus. That's great, isn't it? Would you stand, and we're going to have some prayer. And Daniel, after this, there is lunch. And then I'm going to bring a little more. I have some more things I want to share with you this afternoon. We'll continue. And some of you need to take a little nap between now and then, too. You look a little tired. Let's pray. Jesus, we love You today. Lord, we thank You that You're here, that You're blessing us. Lord, even though we're a little tired, the body is weak, Lord, but the Spirit is rejoicing. Lord, I thank You that You're teaching us, that You're instructing us, that You're encouraging us. Lord, I thank You that You've taken this farm boy and done something with his life. But Lord, I thank You that You've got that same thing to do with many people here in this room today. Lord, there are many who are standing here right now that You've put a vision in their hearts. You've given them something, Lord, that You want them to do. And I pray, Lord, that they wouldn't be shy in doing it, that they would reach out, that they would go forward. Lord, we just thank You for the Scripture that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Lord, we thank You that it's Your strength that we're working with. So, Lord, give us visions, give us dreams. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Daniel, do you have any instruction for us? No? Well, how long until lunch? We're going to find out. It smells good, though, doesn't it? 12 o'clock. So about a half an hour. You have a half an hour to take a little nap. Whatever you want to do. God bless you. We'll see you back in here at 1:30. Excuse me. That's not 1:30. It's 1,300 hours. What's that?
Halv två, så börjar nästa seminarium.
Speaking of tasting, did you have a good lunch? That was great, wasn't it? Yes, it was. Well, I'll make a deal with you, okay? I promise I won't talk a real long time if you listen real closely for just a few minutes. Because I know everybody's still kind of... You look more tired than you were this morning. It's nap time, isn't it? Everybody's going, okay, we'll just try to stay awake.
Om ni behöver någon som översätter så sitter vi här borta.
Whatever he said. You know, it's just a little bit scary when you don't speak the language and somebody's on stage and you hear them talking, you don't understand anything they say, except once in a while you hear Pastor Bob. And I'm thinking, I hope he's saying something good about me. I don't know what he's saying. I have no idea what he said up here before, but I just realized that he used my name a few times, and I hope he wasn't using it in vain. Anyway, Romans chapter 4. We're going to continue where we left off this morning. We were talking about those things that God gives us visions for, the things that He uses in our hearts that He wants us to share with other people. And I have some exciting things I want to share with you as we finish that thought. Just a little bit this afternoon. Romans chapter 4, and we're talking about Abraham. Abraham, the man of faith. Abraham was a cool guy. In fact, he's the only guy in the Old Testament that God calls his friend. And the Bible says that we follow in the seed of Abraham, which means because of him, we're called God's friends as well. That's cool, isn't it? But Abraham, in Romans chapter 4 here, in verse 20, it says, "Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he'd promised." Abraham, a man of great faith, believed that everything that God had promised to him, God was going to do. You know, in my lifetime, I've met people with great faith. I've met people who had phenomenal faith to follow God through very difficult times. And some of them I've been very much in awe with. I remember meeting and having lunch with Brother Andrew many years ago, sharing some very precious time with Corrie Ten Boom before she died. And just a lot of those people that maybe people you haven't heard of, but people that were great folks of the faith. But one of my friends that is no longer living either today was Keith Green. And you may remember Keith, and some of his albums are actually being re-released right now. But Keith was one of those guys that had a lot of faith and was very much misunderstood as well. And I don't think I ever understood evangelism until I spent some time with Keith talking about winning people to the Lord. It was one night, Keith was always kind of in a bad mood, and people asked me to tell them about Keith and what kind of a guy he was, and because I think people have really idolized him since his death. His albums, I think, have sold better after he died than they did even when he was alive. And he wrote a lot of songs that really hit the heart. Great, great songs. And but Keith was very hard to get along with. He was depressed a lot of times, a lot of the time. And used to frustrate me a lot. And one time we did a concert, and I wasn't doing the concert. Keith was doing the concert. I was backstage off towards the side. And Keith was playing the piano and doing some songs that were wonderful. And during the time that he was doing his concert, he actually wrote one of the songs as he was singing it. God was just giving it to him, a song that he later recorded on one of his albums. The first part of the song had already been written. It said, "Hear the bells ringing, they're singing." And then he said that you can be healed right now. And right after he said that, he said, "Reach out and receive it. This could be your glorious hour." And he did this in a song. And after he was finished with the song, something happened. The room was electrified. And things were getting exciting. And all of a sudden, somebody in the back of the room stood up and said, "I can hear you." He said, "What?" He goes, "I can hear you." He said, "When I came in today, I was deaf in one ear, and I could barely hear out of the other one." And he was holding up a hearing aid, and he said, "I can hear you in both ears. God healed me." Well, then all of a sudden, people started standing up. People talking about how they were healed. People talking about how they had become a Christian during the time he was singing that song. I was amazed. It was a great time, a great concert. So we went out afterwards to eat. And you know, you always have to go out and eat. At least I do. I don't look like it, do I? Let me tell you, I've done my share of eating. And it's probably all the concerts that have done that to me. I don't know. But we went out to eat afterwards. We were all sitting around the table, and there were several people in the music industry that were with us as well. And Keith was in a bad mood again, depressed. And I was really frustrated with him. And I said, "Keith, I can't believe once again that you're in a bad mood." I said, "The concert that you just did, there were people that got saved. There were people that got healed." I said, "It was a glorious time." I said, "How can you be depressed when all those people got saved during your concert?" And he said, "I'm feeling depressed for the people that didn't." I hadn't thought about that. It hadn't occurred to me. And I realized I didn't have the same heart that he did, the same heart for evangelism. I've known very few people like that, that are driven that hard with such a huge heart for ministry. And I hope that sitting here today, we have some Keith Green type people here too, that God will drive you that hard as he did with Keith for souls and for people. But you know, as we talk about Abraham, Abraham is an example of faith that God wants us to see as well. He's an example of what God desires to do in each one of our hearts. And there's another example here in Hebrews chapter 11, with Abraham that I think is a great example. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. It says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place that he would later inherit, receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Do you understand what this is saying? In other words, Abraham gets up one day and he begins to walk. And neighbors are coming out of their homes and saying, Abraham, how you doing? Great. Where are you going? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? I don't know where I'm going. And he keeps walking. Well, why are you walking? Because God told me to walk. Would you do that? Because, see, people around Abraham probably thought he was a fool. Wouldn't you? If you saw somebody starting to walk somewhere and they didn't know where they were going, and they weren't just taking a little stroll downtown, he was walking a long distance. But why did he get on the road and begin to walk? Because he knew that God knew where he was going. That's faith. You see, God doesn't always tell us where we're going to end up. Sometimes he only tells you how to get started. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes all you know is, here's the road. Start walking. And you go from there. Sometimes that's all you know. But how many of us, honestly, are willing to begin walking even when we can't see the end of the road? Folks, the toughest thing in my life has been following God when I can't see the whole picture. Because I want to see the whole picture really, really badly. And I want to tell God what to do on that road. I want to tell him which road I should take. I want to tell him how fast I should walk. I want to tell him all those kinds of things. I want to tell God what is best for me as I interpret it. It's not the way God works, is it? How many of you know that God is the one that tells us what to do instead of us telling God what to do? See, there's a lot of movements in the church today where we keep telling God what to do. And not only do we tell him what to do, sometimes we command him what to do. In Jesus' name, I command. Where did that come from? You know what I mean? I don't claim to know enough about what God's doing most of the time to command anything. All I can do is humbly ask and hope that I'm on the right path. And usually finding out later whether I am or not. But you know, God has such a special path for each one of you. Now, this morning we talked a little bit about following God with your dreams, with things that he's given you in your heart to do. And there are some people sitting here today that God has given you a dream or a vision for music, for poetry, for writing, for, gosh, a lot of things. Some of you have dreams for things that you'd like to accomplish. Some in ministry, some just lifetime accomplishments, whatever they might be. And God has given you something to do, a dream to dream, that he wants you to do. But some of those dreams will not be carried out for a lot of reasons. Because some of you will listen to what other people have to say. You know, when God tells us to begin to walk, and Paul says the same thing. He says, run the race. Get on the track. Start running the race. In fact, when we get off of the track, he says, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you? Get back in there. Let me tell you a little bit about this track that we're talking about here. The same road that Abraham is on is the same track that God tells us to walk on, to run on. This track is absolutely straight. It's level. It's clear. There's nothing on the track at all. And we have the opportunity, folks, because Jesus Christ died on the cross, there's no obstacles on the course. Now, on both sides of the track, there are a lot of voices, there are a lot of accusations, people yelling. But the only power that Satan has these days is the power to lie. He has no other power. His power was taken away on the cross. Are you excited about that? We live in victory in Jesus Christ. And so his power was taken away on the cross. And the only power that he has is the power to try to convince you of something that isn't true. Let me tell you a little secret, folks. You don't have to listen to him. You don't have to talk to him. You can just ignore him as you go on by. And how quickly we go down that path is up to you. If you slow down and listen to him and let him convince you that you can't do something that God's asked you to do, then you're giving in. If you stop or slow down and talk to demons, same thing, they'll distract you. Keep going. In other words, God has given us all a race to run. And he says, get on the track and begin to go. You may be one of those like Abraham where you're not sure exactly where you're going to end up. But he told you to start running the race. Now let me tell you something else. Just because you might look a little different, just because you might enjoy music that maybe is a little different than what most people enjoy, whatever it is, it doesn't mean that you're not just as capable of running the race for the Lord. See, as I look out over the crowd here, I see a lot of different kinds of styles. I'm afraid that some of you, because your styles are just a little bit on the edge, are going to let people tell you that you can't do something. You're going to get discouraged because people will always be there to discourage you too. And once again, it doesn't matter what you look like. It's who you are inside. And always be everything you can for Jesus Christ as he begins to tell you what race to run. Now, I believe that we have some great evangelists here in this room today as well. Some of you have the bug. You're one of them, aren't you? I think so. I think God has given you some things to, from your heart to share. I've been feeling that ever since I've been talking today, ever since I look at you. I think you're one of them. And I think there are others here today also that God has given you a definite message to share. And folks, I get so afraid of people's dreams being squashed just because we feel a little different. You know, Paul is talking to Timothy, and he said, don't let people discourage you just because you're young. He said, don't listen to them. Age has nothing to do with it. Don't let them discourage you just because you're different. It has nothing to do with it. Don't let them discourage you just because you don't like their music, just because you don't like the way they dress. All of those things, folks, just don't matter. What matters is that God gives you a dream, and he gives you everything that you need to pursue it and see it come to pass. If it's from him, it will happen. Now look around here today for a minute. Look at all the different kinds of people that are here. All the different styles. We have some people with shorter hair, and we're praying for you. No, just kidding. You're all right. We have some people with longer hair. We have some people with spiked hair. We have some guys with lipstick. Not all of you guys wore lipstick today, did you? But there's some that are. I remember the glam days when the guys used to spend more time putting on their makeup for church than the girls did in those days. Some of that stuff's coming back again a little bit, a little different style. And see, and we always feel like we're just on the cutting edge until a new style comes and we think, gosh, I can't believe those people. Because some of the guys are saying, I can't believe he's wearing lipstick. What about that? And some of you sitting here might be the very people that will discourage him because of how he looks. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure he'll share his lipstick too, if you'd like. Some of you want to try it out. He's into gothic music. Some of you are into rock and roll, and you dress accordingly for rock and roll. Some of you are into country, and we'll pray for you when the service is over. Folks, I didn't mean to make anybody uncomfortable, and I hope I didn't make you uncomfortable, but you know what I really love, you guys? I love to celebrate diversity. I love the fact that we are all different, and we're all unique. I think that's cool, don't you? I think it's great. And it's because of that that we have such a great opportunity to share the Lord in so many different ways. The church has its standards. They have one way, usually, that they feel like they can present the gospel. Certain types of music, certain types of dress, things that are acceptable, things that are not acceptable. Not necessarily biblically, but mostly traditionally. And that is wonderful for a certain group of people. But folks, there are so many more that need to hear the gospel today. So many more that you can touch that nobody else can. So Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Are you ready to get on a road and begin to walk, even though you don't know where you're going? Are you ready to take a chance to what God might do in your life, even though you're not certain what lies ahead? Jesus said, any of you who does not give up everything that he has cannot be my disciple. Luke 14:33. In other words, there's no turning back. He said, we've burned our bridges behind us. We press on, Paul says, toward the prize, looking ahead, looking at Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The greatest thing in the world, folks, is to feel like God is using you in a unique way. To take what you have and to be able to use it. You know, we've all heard the story in the Bible of the feeding of the 5,000 with a little boy who brought loaves and fishes. You remember the story? The Bible says that Jesus took what that little boy had and multiplied it and fed 5,000 men. Now, the Bible didn't record their families. When there are 5,000 men, you can imagine that most of them were probably married and they had some children. There were probably at least 20,000 people there. Well, it's a pretty good trick for 5,000. 20,000 is even a better deal, isn't it? So he fed over 20,000 people. And that's a great story. But the most significant character that I've always enjoyed in that story is the little boy. Now think of that. Here's a little guy that is in this huge crowd with 20,000 people, and he comes there this day to see Jesus. He's heard about him. He wants to hear what he has to say. He wants to experience this great teacher. And so he's poking through the crowd and he's trying to see, and everybody's taller than he is. Everybody's kind of pushing him to the side. If you've ever been in a great big crowd, you know that it's really tough, especially when you're small, to be in a crowd that size. And 20,000 people are pressing in. Why are they pressing in? Because they all wanted to hear. They didn't have one of these microphones to speak in. And so 20,000 people want to hear Jesus speak. And this little boy didn't expect anything when he went that day. But he gave Jesus what he had. You know, many times Jesus is asking us simply, what's in your hand? What is that in your hand? What do you have? What are you holding that I can multiply? What do you have? This little boy said, I have this much. Why don't you take it and feed all these people? And he did. That wasn't the little boy's suggestion, by the way, but he was willing to allow God to take what he had and multiply it. And I'm sure he was amazed. In fact, you know, the Bible says that when they were finished and everybody had enough to eat, they collected the leftovers and there were 12 baskets. 12 baskets that were left over. 12. Folks, I want you to hold your hand up for just a minute. What's in your hand? Now, seriously, what's in your hand? What has God given you that He can use? And you may feel very insignificant, like it doesn't amount to anything, that it might not go very far, that you can't touch very many people with it, whatever. But folks, God is in the business of taking insignificant people and turning us into something significant for Him. And so whatever is in your hand, whatever you're giving to Him, becomes significant when it's given to Him. Isn't that exciting? So I want to encourage you, and I'm going to close with this. I want to encourage you that you continue to open your hand to Him. That whatever is there, that He would take it, that He would multiply it, and do great and mighty things in your life. And can I encourage you with one more thing? That He would also take what is in your hand and to use you for this generation. Folks, don't forget the people just like you on the edge that most churches will never reach. Go get them. They need to hear about Jesus Christ. Would you do that? So Abraham, even though he didn't know where he was going, began to walk. You may not know where you're going either. Begin to walk. At least you know that God says begin, and He'll take it from there. What's your dream today? What's your vision? What does God need to complete in your life that He has started? Don't let anybody talk you out of it. Don't get discouraged. Allow God to do what He set out to do. Let's stand, can we? Lord Jesus, thank You today for this great scripture, this example of Abraham. Lord, that is a great example for us today. Lord, we lift up our hands right now to You. We lift up, Lord, those things in our hands that we humbly give to You, Lord, and say, this is what I have. This is what You've started with. Lord, would You take this and multiply? Lord, I believe that all over this room today, there are many that You have called to do significant things. Lord, every one of us are insignificant without You. But with You, Lord, every one of us are significant. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Lord, for every dream that's represented in this room today, for every vision that you've given to people that are standing here today, Lord, encourage them. Help them to believe, Lord, what you're doing in their lives. Lord, may all of us begin to walk, even though we don't know exactly where we're going. But Lord, we know enough to begin the walk. And I pray, Lord, that all of us would step out and begin there. Lord, here's what's in our hands. Take it and multiply it and use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We have, folks, a great opportunity once again this evening to not only hear some good music, but to minister to some folks. And I want to encourage you to be there at the concert. Daniel, you also wanted people to pick up whatever trash they could find around their seats. If you could help with that, that would be great. And put it in the circular file in the garbage can. Any other announcements that need to be made? That's all we need to do. If you have any questions, there's the man. He is the man. All right. God bless you. We'll see you tonight.